When your car loses traction and goes into a slide, your reaction is going to determine what happens next. That reaction, by the way, has to also take into account that you're starting off from behind, and or like it or not, you created this situation through a lack of attention on your part. That's what America is now facing regarding radical Islam and its desire to commit evil in America. The declarations of quote-unquote workplace violence and lone wolf have simply enabled the enemy with the San Bernardino massacre, not being their first, nor will it be their last attack on America. My next guest is a veteran of the battle against terrorism who says that the path being taken is creating a losing battle for America. Only being a Green Beret veteran, he's the author of the book Game Changers, Going Local to Defeat Violent Extremists. Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann. Thank you for being here this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate it.
And the website to find out more about Lieutenant Colonel Mann is Mann, M-A-N-N-N-Up, mannup.com. That's where you also get Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann's book. Again, it's Game Changers, Going Local to Defeat Violent Extremists. I want to start off by turning back the clock just about a couple of weeks now. Barack Obama went before the American people, national address from the Oval Office, behind a podium, not the desk, but that's nuances for talk for another time. But what sure. did that speech reveal about and demonstrate about what we are doing wrong in this battle right now?
Well, that's a great question. And again, thanks for having me on. You know, to me, it revealed just a continuation of a failure to just address the enemy for who he really is and what he's really up to. I mean, I heard nothing new in that speech, and I was actually kind of leaning forward, Chris, to hear that maybe there would be after San Bernardino, because there was already compelling evidence that this was at least ISIS-inspired. But it was just more of the same, and you're right. I mean, it's as a result of that, we have allowed the greatest Islamist violent extremist threat in our history to manifest not only globally, but in our country. They are here, and I believe, frankly, I believe they're operational right now. They're on a campaign, and San Bernardino is just the beginning.
And counter what Obama says in the White House to the reaction someone like a Donald Trump gets when he, quite frankly, whether or not you agree with him politically or any of his other issues, when he bluntly says, here's a situation, and until something gets fixed, here's what we have to do. In this case, a temporary ban on all Muslim immigrants, and there's outrage over that.
Yeah, and you know, I was just talking about someone, and I also talk about this in my book Game Changers about, you know, the Islamist violent extremists. You know, one of the reasons they're winning is they are ideologically committed. They're all in. We're not all in. We're just dabbling in this, and we're, you know, trying to maintain some semblance of political correctness as we do it, and as a result of that, we're putting ourselves more and more at risk. I believe Trump was well-intended in what he said. Now, what I have said as a professional soldier is that I find that policy probably unenforceable simply because religion is a matter of choice, and it would be very, very hard, especially some Muslims who practice takfir, which is, you know, basically it's okay to lie about your religion to get close to your enemy. So, you know, I tend to believe that it's an unenforceable policy, but I know where he's coming from, and we could look at possibly, you know, shutting down immigration from certain source countries, you know, like in North Africa or Pakistan or something like that until we sort it out. So we just got to be careful about, is the policy enforceable? And the other thing, Chris, I would just caution too, is to make sure that we don't play into the narrative that ISIS has set for us, which is Islam is under attack by the West. And then we basically help them draw that line between all Muslims and us. So we've just got to be conscious of it. But I agree with the way Trump came at it, and I think he's speaking from the heart, which is good.
And certainly if you have a barking dog in the front yard, those who want to do some act of crime in your home, they'll go look for another yard to go into then.
Exactly. If someone came up to you in your neighborhood and with a gun in their hand and said, hey, just so you know, whenever I get an opportunity, I'm going to come into your house and I'm going to try to take out your wife and kids, you know, what would you do? You would react right there on the spot. You would prevent that from happening. And that's essentially what ISIS has done. They've made it very clear. Listen, when you least expect it, we're coming into your house, we're coming into your community, into your schools, and we're going to visit violence on you like you have never seen before. I encourage your listeners to go to Google and search for November 24th ISIS propaganda, and it's titled no respite. And watch that video. It's in perfect English, and they will tell you exactly what their strategy is and what they plan to do. And it's pretty chilling. If we haven't watched that, I suggest we do, because ISIS is telling us what they're doing, and it ain't good.
And they are very blatant and in your face. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, Green Beret veteran, author of Game Changers, Going Local to Defeat Violent Extremists. ManUp, MANUP.com is his website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Give a little bit about your background, because the foundation of your book, Game Changers, is based upon your experience primarily in Afghanistan, where you saw, and there go the subtitle, Going Local to Defeat Violent Extremists. That's the path that makes the difference.
Yeah, thanks for that. And, you know, I've wanted to be a Green Beret since I was, you know, 14 years old, growing up in a little logging town of Arkansas. And Green Berets, for those that don't know, the difference between us and Navy SEALs and others is that we're basically modern-day Lawrences of Arabia. We go into rough places, tribal areas, clan areas, and we work from the bottom up. We connect with tribal chiefs and village elders, peasant farmers, and we help them. We build relationships, and then we help them fight back against oppression and tyranny. In fact, our motto is Free the Oppressed, or De Oppresso Liber. After 9/11 2001, though, we were also emotionally kicked off at that just atrocious violence against our citizens that we kind of forgot who we were. And we went into Afghanistan, myself included, and for 9 years, basically, we just focused on walking the enemy down, on putting scalps on the barn and killing as many Al-Qaeda and Taliban as we could, Chris. And we killed a bunch, thousands of them. By 2009, we looked around and we realized there were more Taliban than when we started, and Al-Qaeda was still very much in the game. So we got back to our roots, and we started working with tribes and clans that were resisting the Taliban at the village level. And we grew our beards out. We got back to our it's kind of Lawrence of Arabia meets Magnificent Seven, kind of still, you know, that movie with old Yul Brynner.
Oh, yeah.
And we moved out into those villages, and we lived there, and we worked there, and we helped these peasant farmers fight back from the inside out. And I'm here to tell you, in a year, we went from 6 village sites to 113. We went from 75 peasant farmers to 15,000 that were defending their areas. And Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar were writing in their memoirs that this program was the greatest threat to their insurgency. And unfortunately, we boxed it all up when President Obama declared a withdrawal in 2013, and we pulled away from this before it really had a chance to take hold. But it is proven. ISIS is terrified of it. It'll even work against gangs here at home. It's basically mobilizing people at the local level in their safe havens to fight back from the bottom up, and it works.
So in a way, could this idea that you put forth and to the level of success before everything changed in Afghanistan, is that something that should be implemented with better cooperation and better reinforcement by America and allies with the Kurds in Iraq? Because it looks like right now the Kurds are the best fighters against ISIS, as far as we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Any marginalized society, any marginalized community or group that is fighting back from the bottom up absolutely is a candidate for this. So, yes, the Kurds would be good. Even the Sunnis, though. You know, the Sunnis are being exploited by ISIS right now and really mobilized to create that safe haven that they need. But bear in mind that many of these Sunnis were the same Sunnis that we worked with in the Sons of Iraq and the Awakening program when Petraeus did the 2006 surge. So a lot of this is we don't have the authorities or the strategy or the policy that allows our Green Berets, our Marines, our SEALs, and other advisors to get into these rough areas, establish local presence, and work from the bottom up. Now, it takes time. I want to emphasize that, Chris. I mean, we're talking about years here, but it's less blood, less treasure. The tribes and the clans do more of the lifting, and we still have to, you know, work at the diplomatic level. We still have to train the armies. We still have to do all those things. But just remember that where ISIS sets up shop, where they're most vulnerable, are in tribal areas that are beyond the reach of those fragile governments. And that's where we don't operate right now, and we need to be. If we're going to beat these guys, we got to look at the enemy holistically, look at who they really are, and then give our guys the authority to go do it. And right now, they're not.
No doubt. For you listening right now, you watch the news, you read online, read newspapers even, and you see all these, well, we could try, what if that, all these theories, and there's so much knowledge and experience that is being ignored that when a Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann steps forward and says, here's something that worked before, here's why it can work today, this is the idea, this is the voice, one of the voices that needs to be listened to and adhered to, because A, it It commits to the truth and the fact and the reality of the current day situation. B, it gives hope that all is not lost because there is a solution. And C, maybe even most importantly, it gets in the enemy's face. And that certainly is something we are lacking right now because, as I said back in the introduction, we seem to make excuses and some people even laugh off and label any talk of the truth as Islamophobia or religious bigotry or some other clueless concept and observation versus the reality of the situation that we're in. His book is Game Changers, Going Local to Defeat Violent Extremists. You can get that and learn more about his career. His ideas at his website, manup, manup.com. Lieutenant Colonel Scott Mann, thank you for your service to your country, how it's continuing into the next generation in your family. Thanks for being here this morning.
It's my honor, and I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas, and keep the faith. We're not done yet. We're still fighting this thing.